A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Red Men News. I am Paul Machin. I am joined by Mr. Chris Pajak for this one. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, sir. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I'm really, really tired.
That's all that sitting around doing nothing. It's actually tiring.
It's actually the exact opposite. Having just put together my son's birthday party, I've just been running around, literally. It's probably the most physical activity I've done in about 3 weeks, and I'm suffering for it today. But yes, anyway, we're going to dive into the news. We've got loads of stuff to get into. Of course, Jordan Henderson leading the NHS fund being created by a whole host of Premier League footballers. There's Philippe Coutinho stuff, because why not? Why not? For all eternity until he retires. Genie Wijnaldum's future, Mario Goethe potentially on a free, and a whole host of other bits and pieces, and some chat from myself and Chris and your comments as well.
Spoilers, however, I actually like the Goethe stuff.
Okay. But yes, today's show is brought to you in association with Beer 52. You can get a free case of 8 craft beers, a magazine and a snack for just £4.95 postage. And right now, Red Men TV listeners are getting 2 free beers as well. So that's 10 free beers. 10. Beer 52 are the world's most popular craft beer discovery club, and every month send you a new theme's worth of beers. You can leave at any time. Simply go to beer52.com/redmen to claim your first case free. And don't forget, right now, you get those 2 extra beers. I've literally got the case right here. It comes in this rather splendid box, and it gets beers. Let's use an example of this Chocker Blocker Mocker Stout. That's amazing. That is Hawkshead Dry Stone Stout. There's largely stouts in this one, so don't be shocked if I deliver another one, which is, oh no, hang on, Tiny Rebel Stay Puffed Coconut Cream Marshmallow Porter.
I've tried that one and it's delicious, and it's a little bit strange. The cream soda one's my personal favourite.
I tried the cream soda one the other day.
It was good afternoon drinking that.
That was the first drink I'd had since lockdown began. And it was gorgeous, and it made me kind of want more of them. And yeah, if you want more of all the things, yeah, you can obviously go to Beer52 and start up your subscription to them. Once again, beer52.com/redmen. Highly, highly, highly recommended. Particularly in this time when we can't go out, what's better than just having beer delivered to your house? Few things, Chris.
Answering the comments, though.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to kick things off with the biggest thing, really. Jordan Henderson, Troy Deeney, Harry Maguire, Mark Noble leading the way in an NHS initiative. A whole host of Premier League stars, Chris, have all basically put in together to help create a fund to support a lot of things happening in and around the NHS. I think, first and foremost, from our perspective, a great sense of pride from Liverpool fans that Jordan Henderson is at the forefront of this.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially after what came out, you know, last weekend, and Liverpool going to furlough staff and all that type of thing. And, you know, again, we said it on the Red Men TV main channel's YouTube show when the decision was reversed, that we would, you know, you can separate the business from the players, and the players are good people. And we know that Jordan Henderson's good people, and he's proved it again, leading the charge, setting the fund up, corralling these other captains first and foremost to go and speak to their clubs. And it could actually be a major change now in how football players do respond to these types of things. And it goes on in that article to explain that Hendo was doing this well before Matt Hancock decided to start applying pressure on these Premier League players, which is ridiculous, by the way. Mm-hmm. But we all knew that, you know, Hendo and the players didn't want to sort of knee-jerk reaction and come out and do something that was wrong. It sounds like they've done something that is going to last, is going to be an actual help, and more importantly, get the funds to the right places quickly, which is something that Hancock and his fucking Barmy army certainly can't do.
Yeah, it's interesting. Darren Lewis writes in the Mirror article, while the MPs are busy justifying the extra 10k they can claim for working from home, the Premier League stars were actually helping the NHS. No soundbites, no bluster. Here was a 4 million donation, which could reach as much as 20 million, with more where that came from. Led by Liverpool's Jordan Henderson, Watford's Troy Deeney, Man United's Teddy McGrath, West Ham's Mark Noble, the hashtag Players Together Collective could mark a sea change in the way top flight players deal with a range of important issues, as Chris said there. Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant, and I think it kind of goes to show there's a lot of things and a lot of complexity in the world today, and footballers being singled out. And you know, you're looking right now, Chris, and it's stuff that we did cover on the main channel, but you know, these are major taxpayers in the country. These guys are in the top tax bracket. They actually pay their taxes, and in addition to that, they've also now set up this fund. It makes you wonder, and I've seen some great reactions to this online from some really big journalists as well. Hopefully the government now will turn their attention to other multimillionaires in the country and ask them to start doing their part as well.
Yeah, I wait with bated breath.
Yeah, shame that, isn't it? And that the worst thing about that is as far as we go, like, that's our commitment to it almost done. You know what I mean? It's because we don't have a platform really to speak directly to all that. And I hate that, you know, we've got social media, so much of the kickoff, so many people talking about it and focusing on football. Football players became the kind of straw men in this situation.
Oh, look over here. Hang on a minute. Our doctors don't have masks and goggles. I mean, I was literally speaking to someone this week who's, I can't remember if it was a partner or something like that. They were getting goggles in from an infant school.
Yeah.
For frontline workers, but no, you focus on it and on football players. Good one, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. The government needs to pull a finger out and sort this out very, very sharpish. And now that's at least footballers have taken themselves, they've done what they're going to do in the short term. At least, you know, they're contributing to this. And then when you've got scandals coming out, like, you know, 10k to work, you know, to sort out working from home.
Cost me 50 quid and a microphone, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, we're going to move on then.
That's all I bought.
Yeah, Paul Glatzel has been speaking to the Liverpool website. Obviously, we know he picked up a season-ending injury in pre-season last year, having looked so bright going into that period. But apparently, you know, 9 months of careful rehabilitation from his anterior cruciate ligament injury, writes Chris Shaw on the Liverpool website. He suffered last summer have brought him close to a return to the pitch. The 19-year-old is on course to begin training again this month. He says, I'm basically at the end of my rehab. I was meant to be back in training. I should have been back around now, but obviously with what's going on, it's not possible at the moment. Just making sure I do my fitness stuff when sent by the club and just waiting for all this to take its course and then be back on the pitch when we're allowed. I think that's one of another little piece of good news, really. Not necessarily because, you know, I'm sure it would benefit him massively to be back in and around everyone and training, but, you know, it's one of those situations where whenever Liverpool are now fit to return, Paul Glatzel is going to be able to step up his rehab properly once he does.
Yeah, and you know, before I talk a little bit about that, just want to say that article's really, really good. It's probably a 10-minute read or something. It's really quite an in-depth interview with Glatzel, and he talks about a few wide-ranging things, and one of them is, you know, his rehabilitation and obviously how hard he's worked, and you know, the fact that he's working towards getting back out on the grass, and now obviously that's changed, and how adjusting to that, and how he's had to adjust to that, but also, you know, how much he's used this time, Paul, to actually focus on making himself a better player. Yeah. Because now what he's been saying, and he goes on to say in this interview, is that, you know, he's looking at football matches, first team matches, our first team, with an analytical mindset, and he's looking at what makes Liverpool, and you know, I'm trying to quote this verbatim, the European champions, is what makes them so good. And so he's learning about Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool side while he's been out as well, so that when he gets back on the field, hopefully he'll understand that a lot more. He'll have to put that into practice and stuff, but he's not wasted this time. He's sat there, he's worked hard to get to where he is, which is about ready to get back out on the grass whenever that's allowed, but also he's put in the hard yards on the mental side of the game as well, which is obviously great to hear from a young lad and a Scouser as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
So yeah, brilliant.
I think he's German, but
his parents are both German. He was born there.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. But yeah, no, it's right. And I think when you look at like the Bobby Duncan situation, and there'll be a nice poetry, I guess, to him having been forced to stick around or whatever. If he's able to get himself back and get himself playing, you know, you look at Duncan's career, it's just absolutely took a major nosedive. I think there's something about this kid, and it'd be nice, whether it's just alone next season to a good level or whatever, but I think everyone wants to see him succeed, so fingers crossed on that. SkySports.com, they've done an exclusive interview with Keir Jurabchin.
Remember him,
absolutely.
Like,
and he said that
everybody that we were signing at one point, everybody, Willians or all kinds, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. The super agent has been saying that Philippe Coutinho would love a return to the Premier League one day, but he insists that everything remains a possibility when it comes to the future of the Brazilian midfielder. Yeah, he's one of those people who's going to be in a rather awkward situation, Chris. It's been said time and time again, Liverpool have got... There's just no situation, really, where Liverpool were to bring him back unless they got him back on a free transfer or whatever. I wouldn't be shocked to see Coutinho move to the Premier League, but I think he's going to end up as one of those weird situations. If he comes back to the Prem, he's probably going to have the double-edged sword of he's going to have to take a drop in pay and all that kind of stuff. He's going to have to join a Liverpool rival, and in doing so, will probably end up forever tarnishing his reputation with Liverpool fans, because if he ends up at Man United or Chelsea or Arsenal or whatever, all the people who hate him and have maybe edged towards forgiveness or whatever will probably ultimately write that off, regardless of the circumstance, that he's kind of got no choice because Liverpool aren't going to buy.
I think you might be forgetting one certain club that's managed by an ex-Liverpool manager.
Leicester City.
That's the place he goes if it's not a rival.
Wow. And that'd be an amazing sign for Leicester.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're going to ship off Maddison, aren't they, for 100-odd million. Bring in a 27-year-old Phil Coutinho, the magician, the keymaster, back in there unlocking defences for Brendan and his boys. Just be like old times. yeah. It's either that or Everton. I know you said rival, and we're stretching that slightly, but they're a City rival, aren't they? But they take the punt on him.
Everton, an interesting point.
Or Leicester or Arsenal. Arsenal or another one where I think he could go to.
Yeah, I think the Arsenal stuff fits, I think, and there's going to be a bunch of clubs who are looking for that, and it's what tier he exists at these days, because I think if you've not made it at Barca and you've not made it at Bayern Munich, then Arsenal, I don't think exactly, that's what I mean. But I mean, I don't think you're top tier anymore. So, you know, all of a sudden you're in that clutch. But it's like Man City are not going to be interested in him. Liverpool are not going to be interested in him. Juventus are probably not going to be interested in him. So then you're left with, all of a sudden, a move to an Arsenal or Leicester, you know, actually makes a bit more reasonable sense. I think he'd suit Arsenal down to the ground, to be perfectly honest, but ultimately I don't give a flying fuck about Phil Coutinho anymore, so he can do whatever he wants. But comments and discussions, where do you think Phil Coutinho would fit, and what club would suit him at this point? Let us know in the comments, we'll read through some of them in a little bit. There's a report, Chris, rousingthecop.com, I've got this, where we're taking it from, a report in Italy that Inter want to sign Gini Wijnaldum. They fear they're too late, however. The Tutto Mercato web, which might be the first time we've had this referenced this summer. This is fantastic. Recent discussions led to Inter deciding to pursue the Dutchman. Wijnaldum is entering the final year of his contract, and the hope is he may cost around £26 million. It's interesting about the Gini Wijnaldum stuff, because, we've mentioned this, and it's been mentioned on the Reds News Roundup show on the website. Of course, that... the contract situation is the coronavirus stuff exacerbates the contract situation of Gini Wijnaldum, because he's going to enter into the final year of his contract before this season has even finished. Technically, because of the way things are likely to lie. I love Gini. I'd be signing him down to a new contract, but also there's an issue where, you know, he's 29 years old, or he's around that period, Chris. You see a lot of Dutch players actually do. You get good longevity out of them. And also, having left the homeland, I wouldn't be shocked if Gini actually wouldn't mind a challenge somewhere else, a challenge in Italy or something like that.
Yeah, he's still got time to do that, though, hasn't he? Mm. I can only put myself in someone like his shoes, and you know, only for very brief amounts of time at a time. I would win as many trophies as I can before you start to think about that stage of your career and wanting a new challenge. He's got at least 4 years left at the very top.
Yeah.
Because of the time that he has been a footballer, because of the way that you can see the physical condition that he's in. You know, you just have to look at the likes of James Milner in our team now. I mean, still producing, still going out there, still being able to give something to the best team in the world. And this isn't a lad who's, you know, 33 years old, who's producing for somewhere midway down the table. He's producing for the best team in the world right now. Mm-hmm. The Premier League leaders, the European champions. Genie Wijnaldum's got that. And it's whether, for me, it's whether he is willing to accept that this is probably his last opportunity for a big payday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's whether Liverpool match that with Genie before he starts to sort of go down a little bit in pay, maybe not performance.
Yeah, and, you know, he'll be looking at the situation, won't he? And, you know, there's obviously still to be determined how the season pans out, but all of a sudden he's won the European Cup and he's won the Premier League, and he's, you know, he's entering into those years, and he might be thinking, you know, I could go and, you know, go and pick up. So he's good enough that the top clubs in Italy would want him and the top clubs in Spain would want him. And, you know, he could well go and be. I mean, his standing, we forget this sometimes, I think. But, you know, when people talk about your Seedorfs and your Davids and your Snyders and your Van der Vaarts and what have you, you know, he's just them. He's that generation. You know, he's the new generation of them. He's playing for the Dutch national team. He's playing for the top, top European side. He's winning the top honours. There's no reason why he shouldn't be able to go and do that kind of stuff. And I wonder whether that, for him, and that's been a factor in maybe delaying the contract talks, and maybe he's looking at what his Liverpool situation is all of a sudden, because, you know, Liverpool will be looking to refresh that team in the next season or two. And maybe he looks at it and says, well, am I going to get this many games next season? And maybe yes, but will I get it the season after that? It's an interesting point for Genie.
By all accounts, though, even in that Rousing the Cop article there, it does go on and say, like, look, it's close to Liverpool, but things have accelerated while this pandemic's been going on, and it looks like Liverpool are in pole position. So we should just make everyone aware that it looks like Liverpool are in pole position, and not to get too worried about it.
Yeah, and either way, I'm not sure it's anything necessarily to be concerned about from our perspective. But I think we'd all know. I think Liverpool's modus operandi and across all of this is to tie down your first team players for as long as possible and keep that side together, because that continuity is the key. Has been the key to success. Okay, so Empire of the Cop, we're going to move things on. Are saying Mario Goethe is a candidate to replace Jadon Shaqiri in the summer. Bring him in on a free transfer. This is a brilliant sentence, by the way. Bring in Mario Goethe on a Bosman free transfer is one of the many options being considered by Liverpool. Empire of the Cop understands, which I find fucking hilarious, because, like, I would never, if I found out that Ross or someone from us had written Red Men Understands on our fucking website, I would have them remove their head from their ass, and then I would shove it straight back up there. Maybe Empire of the Cop have got sources. I mean, I they are a differently run website than the back of the day when we first started out and stuff. But that's fucking hilarious for the start. By the way, no disrespect to them; it's a really good website. But I just like that.
We're all living in an athletic world now, though, aren't we? And you know their branding is whoever uncovers anything, it's reported in The Athletic.
Yeah.
Every newspaper even adheres to it when they're reporting on and after. It's never Simon Hughes or James Pearce, it's The Athletic.
Yeah.
And Empire of the Cop have probably fallen foul of that one, to be honest with you. I couldn't believe that Gert is only 27.
Yeah.
Like,
how would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
And I didn't fact check it, but I should have, because I still don't believe it now. Yeah. I just can't imagine that. Like, when did he score the World Cup winning goal?
2014.
Right. Okay. Yeah, fair enough. So he was 21, was he? Yeah, fair enough. Like, I mean, it said, you know, Chris Pajak understands, according to there, that he's 27 years old, but I can't believe that he's 27 years old.
His birthday's the 3rd of June.
So he's 27 and something. So he's 27. That's how it works.
He's currently 27, but he'll be 28 at the end of the season.
I genuinely can't believe he's 27. Like, yeah. If you'd have asked me, I'd have gone 32, probably. 32, really? Like that high. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, wow. I'd have said like 29, you know, 30 this summer or something. But yeah, I mean, I know he's not to bring up the old Twitter meme. In football terms, what Liverpool be looking for, Liverpool would be bringing in a 28-year-old. And I think he falls. I mean, do we want another injury-prone, lightweight footballer at the football club? Is that the question?
I mean, I'm all in on them, Paul, to be honest with you. do you know what? He's not a player that I've followed over the last few years. He's not a player that I particularly care about. But that article did not make me want him.
Yeah,
you know that little, there's a little bit where he says, you know, Gates has said that Jürgen Klopp's the only manager who's been able to consistently get the best out of him. I'm like, ooh, And then Jürgen still likes him and still WhatsApps him all the time. I'm like, ooh,
yeah,
okay. Michael Edwards and Jürgen Klopp are pulling another one here. We're going to get the best player in the entire world for free. Yeah. And that's what. So I'm like, let's just roll the dice on this baby, because I know Shaqiri's not that good and I know he's not that fit all the time. So if you can give me potentially the best player in the world, I'm taking him. I'm taking him all, mate.
Just out of interest, I've just had a look there. He's made 19 appearances in all competitions this season. He's played 13 league games, scored 3 goals. He's played predominantly centre-forward for Dortmund this season. And most, you know, when he started games, he's played centre-forward. When he's come into games, but he's been a sub. He's just basically been a perennial sub. I don't think he's played 90 minutes in the league.
Well, how many games has he been managed by Jürgen Klopp for?
That's a good point, yeah. Absolutely.
Not exactly.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly. So that's it, yeah. So sort him, get him boxed. I think Mario Götze has had his day, hasn't he? I think he's one of those that it's quite exciting in a fantasy football sense, and I can't unpick like the Liverpool fan I've been for the last 15 years in particular, where just hearing your link with a name that you know makes you excited. But there's no way. There's no way Liverpool.
I want him so badly now, just off reading that one article.
Yeah.
I've not even seen him play. He could have one leg nowadays, and I'd still want him off that article.
Yeah, definitely.
It even said he's slower than he was in the article, but I just thought maybe he's just quicker up there nowadays. You know what I mean?
Maybe it's
and all that type of stuff. Like, let me dream.
Yeah, listen, if you're watching and you've taken in a lot of Goethe this season, then please do let us know your thoughts in the comments. We'll discuss that. Here's one for you to kind of bring this the news to a wrap. Sadio Mane has been edged to quit Liverpool because Jürgen Klopp doesn't play to his strengths. Who said that? Why? It's only former Portsmouth and Fulham forward Diamante Camara.
Who?
Fuck off. Who? Fuck off. Doesn't play to his strengths.
Why does he get to speak about it?
Because they're from the same country, I think.
Ah, okay. That's always the answer, isn't it? It's from the same country.
Almost always. Let's see if there's a quote here. Oh, yeah. If Mane one day wants to win the Ballon d'Or, he may have to leave Liverpool as the club are maybe not the best advocates for him, despite their outstanding performances, he told ESPN. He needs to continue on the road he's going down, as he wasn't too far from finishing on the podium. And even for me, he maybe deserved to win it this year. Now he needs to continue to work and maybe even change clubs, because we've seen that Liverpool don't really play to Mane's strengths, and people gave their votes to Virgil van Dijk, even though Mane and to a lesser extent Salah were equally in the running. Considering his market value...
Hang on, Paul. Was he in the fucking running or was he not in the running here? Because if he needs to leave to get in the running, what are you saying there, mate?
What I think he's trying to say is that Mane didn't win it because the votes... What he means to say, whether he's too stupid to understand this point, Mane didn't win because the votes get diluted because there's too many top stars at Liverpool, effectively. So, like, you vote Barcelona, you're just going to vote for Messi because... You're just gonna vote for Messi, aren't you? That kind
of thing.
He wouldn't
say later on in the article though to go to Barcelona, would he?
Does he?
Yeah.
Real Madrid. The Real Madrid thing would make sense for his argument because there's not really any other potential Ballon d'Or candidates and all that at their side at the moment. But yeah, it's horseshit. I mean, the simple fact of the matter is, in terms of being used to his strengths, Sadio Mane has become world class at Liverpool. He scores a world class amount of goals. For his position at Liverpool, Diamante Camara needs to just eat a shit.
Camara's just the Real Madrid fan, really, isn't he?
Yeah, he's
a fan of the old Spanish football, and he wants Mane over there because Liverpool are too good. Oh well, never gonna happen. Well,
never anytime soon. Matter indeed. Right, let's get to some of your comments then. Thank you very much for putting them in here. Henderson on the Henderson stuff. Megasting 1981 with the Blue Super Chat says proud of Hendo. Hope everyone at Redmen as well. Yeah, everyone at Redmen is very well, and yeah, completely. I mean, we said it up top, Chris, but yeah, there is a sense of pride in the Jordan Henderson stuff. I think you can see why the players were a bit annoyed by this, because it looks like, and Hancock has almost like tried to claim credit for this. For jarring them into action. It's horseshit. I'm proud of Hendo because they did this without being pushed by the government.
And that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And we're all proud of Jordan Henderson right now. And yeah, as you say, everyone at Redmen's well. Apart from, I don't know whether you can tell this, I've got a small sort of 1-inch rash on my arm. I've had it for a week. Other than that, though, Megas thing, I'm absolutely fine. Thanks for asking.
Brilliant. Stephen Somerville also saying, for Henderson leading the NHS this way is the best thing. He will go down as a legend for the club for what he's done. I mean, like Gary Lineker's talking about him being player of the year, or whether he actually ends up as like nominated for sports personality of the year or something like that. These are the kind of actions to put yourself to transcend the sport. And it's weird, isn't it? Like, because people still have this interpretation of Jordan Henderson as being this average lad who's coasted and who stole a living or whatever, whereas he's captain of the best football club in the world. He's lifted the European Cup. He's lifted the Club World Cup. He's likely to lift the Premier League, and he's led these initiatives and all that. He's just a brilliant human being.
He is. He's much better than me, Paul. Just sit back just slightly. Just lean back slightly. No, back, mate. Back, 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 back. Forward slightly. Back, touch. Just back a touch.
Perfect. Has said,
Jamie Carragher and Steven Gerrard were kissing you on your heads, and it was fantastic. Thank you, viewers.
Rob D said, great attitude from Glatzel. Lots of other players in similar position than age could learn a lesson from him instead of trying to force through transfers like some other young kids. Yeah, naming no names, which we actually did on the Coutinho stuff. Johnny Walker says Coutinho jumped ship when he was supposed to be peaking. What a waste of time and ability. People will still get something out of Coutinho, I'm certain of it, Chris, but I'd said this at the time, he was about to have his first world-class season at Liverpool.
Full world-class season. Yeah,
exactly. He was on the path to having the same kind of season as Mane and maybe not quite Salah, but, you know, had that a 20-goal season. and he jumped for Barcelona, and that was basically the story of Coutinho, and that might be all she wrote, a learning lesson really to footballers, to, you know, that maybe the grass isn't always greener.
Yeah, and I think it makes me think, because I know how talented Coutinho is, and I know how good a footballer he actually is, and you know, he was with us for over 5 years, wasn't it, in the end? And you know that, you know, the last couple of years working under Jurgen Klopp, striving to become a great team with the rest of the lads, that was, you know, how much work went into that. And so to go to Barcelona, where if you don't succeed, when they're not at their absolute peak as well, Barcelona, you get fucked off straight away with that big price tag. Same with Bayern Munich. I mean, his goal returns, like, it's nearly 1 in 3 this season for Bayern Munich, isn't it? Which is pretty bloody good, to be fair, for I wouldn't say he was a forward in the way that Mane or Salah are forwards for us from the outside.
Yeah.
He's a little bit further back, isn't he? So his goal return was good, but just tells you it takes time. And if, you know, he's gone to football clubs that aren't willing to give you time. Barcelona, Real Madrid are the two worst clubs in the world for that. It's great if you hit the ground running. If you don't, it can really stunt your career. Think of, it's the other one who went from Real Madrid, the South American who went to Bayern Munich on loan as well.
Oh, James Rodriguez,
again, you know, something. If you hit the ground running well, you're sound. If you don't, you're out the door.
Yeah.
That's what happens at those two football clubs. He will be a good player for somebody, Phil Coutinho, at the right price, and he's still go on to have a good career, but he's missing out on the trophies that he should have been winning.
Yeah.
And that's on him and nobody else right now, or maybe his agent.
Yeah, absolutely. And suggestions for clubs that he could fit in at. Liverpool, YNWA says Coutinho will suit Chelsea.
With Lampard, the midfielder scoring goals.
It's just a thing,
that, isn't it? Well, the manager scored goals outside the box, then he's going to be a great manager for Phil Coutinho.
Yeah,
I actually think he would suit them, though, to be fair.
Yeah, definitely. Someone is saying he will suit Arsenal, but I think he will go to a mid-tier club in Italy. I don't see the mid-tier thing. In Italy, I think, because I think mid tier in Italy is
3 to the bottom, isn't it?
Exactly. I think mid tier in Italy is a lot lower these days than it kind of was. But I don't think Juventus have him. But I'm not sure he would necessarily go back to an Inter Milan. But if you look at Inter Milan's shopping policy of late, is to pick up guys who have been Premier League quality, but aren't necessarily at that, you know what I mean, aren't necessarily at the peak of the pass or unwanted at that level. So, you know, with your Sanchez, Lukaku, is Ashley Young there as well, you know. So, it's an interesting one. Move on to the Goethe stuff then quickly. Stephen Somerville, I think Goethe will be another Shaq past his peak. I don't fancy him as a player, really. Would rather have a Havertz than him and a Hans Vogeli. Anyone else feel like Shaq not had enough playtime since he came? This is the thing, Chris, on all these articles about Shaqiri, and I'm just going to paraphrase Jurgen Klopp whenever he's asked about it. Shaqiri's been injured, and it's weather. But I think we all kind of look at it and go, it's because he doesn't fit or because of whatever. People haven't given the benefit of the doubt on the fitness situation. I'm sure if he'd been fit and available, he would have played more games. Now, that's not to say he wouldn't still be moved on, but I'm not sure it's quite as cut and dry as Shaqiri will just leave at the end of the season.
Yeah, you're probably right there, Paul. I think, you know, He has been injured. He has missed games because of that. But there are also times when he's been fit and not involved. And, you know, Jürgen's come out and spoken about him in the past and stuff. So I just don't see him as a right fit. And I don't think he'll be here. So I'm not going to try and pretend that I do. Mm-hmm. But I don't know the reasons why.
Yeah.
I can speculate on the reasons why, but I don't know them, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, listen, we're going to wrap up there. Once again, do make sure if you want some beer delivered to your house, you're getting 10 free beers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 10 free beers. Thanks to Beer 52. Go to beer52.com/redmen to claim your first free case. It's just $4.95 posting. You're going to get a magazine and a snack as well, and a cardboard box, which you can presumably use for craft activities to keep you entertained at home as well. If you want more Red Men news in more depth and detail, go to theredmentv.com. The Reds News Roundup show is here every single week. Three or four of our guys together really delving into the big discussion topics in and around Liverpool and football as well. So yeah, go there, sign up. It's just £5 a month for that. And there's some brilliant content as well, including an exclusive interview with Liverpool, former Liverpool left back Jose Enrique with Mr. Chris Pajak. I chatted to Jimmy Traore the other day as well. That's going to be going out next week. And there's an amazing archive of content to keep you all happily entertained in a very testing and trying period. Anyway, Chris, thank you very much. Thank you very much for watching. And we'll see you all with more Red Men news next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.